What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? And specifically what I was thinking about when I came up with this title is, you know, the name of the day is, today we call it Palm Sunday, right? And I got to thinking about, I'm like, why? I know why we call it Palm Sunday. But obviously it must have been pretty significant to name the day Palm Sunday. Why Palm? You know, why? I mean, they were on their way, Jesus and his disciples and a multitude of other people, of Jewish people, were on their way into the city to celebrate Passover. Right? This was already a time of celebration. And the air must have just been electric, right? It would have been, if I would have compare it to something today, because this was a time of celebration. For those that maybe don't know, if you're new to church or whatever, what Passover was, they celebrated it every year, was that it was celebrating, you know, when they were slaves, when the Jewish people were slaves in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh. And remember, God sent the 10 plagues, and Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And that final plague that was sent was a doozy. The Bible says that the Lord released the death angel to take all the firstborn children in the land. But he told his people first, he said, "Look, in order for your house to be spared and your sons' lives to be spared, I want you to take the blood of a lamb. I want you to find a spotless lamb, a sacrifice. Kill that lamb. Take the blood, and I want you to smear it up the sides of the doorposts and over the top of the doorposts." It's interesting they didn't do it on the floor, on the threshold, because we don't trample on the blood of Jesus. But that blood was, it surrounded that door, and when the angel, death angel, came that night and saw the blood on the doorpost of God's children, he passed over. He passed over, right? And that's why they celebrate. It's called Passover. So this is what was going on, and the children of Israel were told, you need to celebrate and remember what God has done, and teach your children generation after generation. Remind them of what God. Can I just pause for a second and let you know one of the most important things happening in this house today is happening down that hall when you first walk in. If you were to make a left, there's a classroom with kids in there where my kids, your grandkids are learning about the name of Jesus and who Jesus is. That's one of the most important things happening in this house today, if not the most important thing, because that's where the next generation is learning about this Jesus that we're serving. Amen. So Palm Sunday, they're all on their way into the city to celebrate Passover, and it's a celebratory atmosphere. If you've ever been to like a Twins game or a Vikings game, you know what it's kind of like before the start of the game as you're walking into the stadium. There's an excitement in the atmosphere, or a Wild game, whatever. Pick your team, all right? So I'm not going to let you have the Packers. But anyway, but on the way into the stadium, there's an electricity. Everybody's in their jersey. Everybody's ready to go. And they're like, man, this is going to be awesome. And there's just an excitement. And this is what's going on the way into the city. And you know the story. If not, I encourage you to go home and read it. I don't have time to get into it all because I can only focus on one aspect today. But Jesus gets on a colt, a foal of a donkey, a young donkey that's never been ridden before, and he's on his way into the city, and now he's going to allow his disciples to do something that he hasn't allowed them to do before, and that is to proclaim the fact that he is king and Messiah, because now it was time for this prophecy to be fulfilled. But here he was, a king, not coming as a lot of kings do on a horse, which would have signified war and conquest. The interesting thing to note here is that's how the people of Israel wanted him to come. That's how they were expecting him to come. They were like, we want you to come because we've been now under the thumb of Roman government, and we're expecting you to deliver us from that. So, but they're exciting because they've just seen Jesus do all these miracles. They've seen him heal the lame. They've seen him heal lepers. They've seen him heal blind. They've even seen him bring a dead person back to life. They just saw Lazarus walk out of a tomb after 4 days of being dead. And it's starting to dawn on them that maybe this is the Messiah. And at this time, Jesus doesn't hold back. A lot of times you can read these miracles, and he would tell people, go, don't, you know, don't tell anybody or whatever, because it wasn't time yet. I mean, the Pharisees, the whole time, they were just mad. They were so jealous of Jesus. Why? Because they wanted all eyes on them, right? But on his way into the city, I mean, people, this electric atmosphere, they're excited. They're throwing their cloaks down in front of the donkey. I mean, you got to be excited to throw your clothes down in front of an animal that just doesn't have any reservations about where it uses the bathroom, right? And they're throwing these their cloaks down. They're literally cutting palm branches, the Bible says, off of trees, and they're laying them down in front of Jesus. This signified they often did this for kings and dignitaries that would come to the city as a sign of honor and respect and esteem. They're putting these palm branches. And in this moment, it's interesting, the Pharisees said, why are you letting them do this? They saw what he was doing, and they saw that people were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and that he was the Messiah. And they spoke up, some Pharisees in the crowd, and said to Jesus, stop them. Don't let them say this. That's blasphemy. And he said, if they don't do it, the rocks will cry out. Prophecy was going to be fulfilled, and God was going to be praised, brother believer, no matter what. If you and I don't praise him, nature declares the glory of God. When nature speaks, you and I should listen. So what I want to focus on, though, is the palms. We call this Palm Sunday. Palm. Why palm? And so I started looking into the significance of palms in Scripture, and what do they mean, and why? Why did we literally name this Sunday after the palms that were laid down in front of Jesus? There has to be more. There has to be truth there that we should grab onto on this day. And that's what I want to dive into. So as I was researching and looking into it, I came across, look at this verse in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. And we'll put it on the screen here for you. It says, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees. Everybody say palm trees. The boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. Everybody say willows. We would call this like a weeping willow. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And what he's talking to the children of Israel here about is there was a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. In the book of Leviticus, he's telling them how there's to celebrate this feast. And if you're a new Christian, I mean, the whole Bible is amazing, but I don't recommend starting in the book of Leviticus. It's a little heavy. but this particular scripture, I was like, man, there's got to be, a lot of times when you see things in scripture, it's worth looking a little bit if you recognize that same thing somewhere else and saying, because God never does anything haphazard or by accident. He fulfills prophecy, man. He ties things together for a reason and to show us something, right? So in this scripture, I thought, there's palms again, and this scripture is kind of strange. Because God's instructing Israel that they should praise him, and essentially what he's saying is, I want you to cut down palm branches, and I want you to cut down willow branches, and I want you to praise me for 7 days. I want you to have the palm in one hand, and I want you to have the willow branch in the other, and you're going to wave those, and you're going to rejoice for how good of a God that I am, with the palm in one hand and the willow in the other, and just rejoice. And I'm thinking, man, this is okay, but it's what's the significance of this? I mean, it seems kind of weird, and I'm going to tell you right now what it is. This symbolizes the fluctuation or the peaks and valleys of life. This is a beautiful picture of what you and I go through every day. Every day. This symbolizes, why? Because palms represent victory. Palms represent strength, prosperity, success, joy, peace, freedom. This is palms, victory. That's why they were laid before a king. It was triumph. Oftentimes when the Greeks would do Olympic games back then, and when the Olympics games, that's why you'd see them with palm leaves were given to the victors. Interesting. But willows, on the other hand, again, they kind of represent when you think of a willow tree and you think that it's bent over and it's drooping and it actually looks as though it's weeping or crying in tears, and it represents sorrow and distress and sad times and adversity and struggle. And this is how life is. And unless you were born yesterday, has anybody had some good times? Has anybody had some bad times? Okay. Yeah, you say amen or oh me, one of the two. I don't know. This is how life is. You're either going to have palm days or you're going to have willow days. It's just the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that if you come to Jesus, you will never have any problems again. It's all, that would just be out. I would be telling you something false. Now there's more to the story. You can live in victory above those despite of the problems, but we'll get to that. But this is how life is. You're either going to have palm days or you're going to have willow days. But here's the thing. Life may do this, but God stays the same. He's the same in your palm days, and he's the same in your willow days. He said, you don't have any less of me when you feel like you're going through the valley than you had when you were on the mountaintop. I'm the same God, and you have as much of me now as you had with you then. And my power has not changed. My hold on you has not relaxed. And my plans for you have not changed. My power is still the same. He's the God of the mountain, and he's the God of the valley. The Bible said he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. Amen? So, like, I wonder right now, how many of you feel like you could easily, if you just wanted to be honest with yourself, you could ask yourself this question. How many of you feel like you're experiencing palm days right now? And by the people that laughed, I can tell you're probably experiencing willow days right now, right? Maybe not necessarily, but you could ask yourself, yeah, man, this has been a palm season where, oh, no, this has been a willow season in my life. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with the palm days. Man, it's a good thing. Rejoice in those. When God is doing good things in your life, make sure you stop and celebrate that. Don't just take it for granted. Rejoice in the Lord, right? Cherish those days. Here's why. Because Isaiah chapter 15, verse 7, we're going to put up there, says this. Because the abundance that they've gained and that they've laid up, they will carry away to the brook of the willows. That means you can start off with a palm branch, but it's only a matter of time before you're going to have a willow at some point. Gee, thanks, Jonathan. I'm so glad I came to church today. This is really encouraging. This is great. This is exactly the message that I wanted right now as I'm going through this in my life. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trials. You will have tribulations. And then he put a but on it. But be of good cheer. Don't lose your joy. Because I've overcome the world. I think it's about living above the problems. Looking at things from God's perspective. I'm not saying that you won't experience it. I'm not saying that you have to deny them. And I'm not saying that they're not real. But when they don't absorb your energy and your focus and your strength, that's why the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why I said you're going to have problems, but be of good cheer. Have my joy. You're going to need strength in those times, and I've given it to you. I've overcome the world. Amen? So the secret is to learn that I praise him in the good times, and I praise him in the bad times. God is good. All the time. All the time. Amen. You guys were on that. And here's the thing that I want to tell you. The two times that you are most vulnerable in life, any day, any given day, the two times that you are the most vulnerable is when you have nothing and when you have everything. Stop and think about it. Those are the two times, the peak of the mountain and the low of the valley, or is when you're at your most vulnerable. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Let me encourage you, though. If you're experiencing Willow Days right now, that does not necessarily mean that you're outside of the will of God. Can I just put you at ease right now? Because a lot of people get under condemnation thinking about, man, if I'm going through something right now, I must have done something wrong. I must be out from underneath God's will. I must have missed it somewhere, and I'm getting beat up, and it's all my fault because I did this. Maybe, yeah, if you're in direct disobedience and you're not doing something that you knew that God told you that you should be doing, that's one thing. But I'm not talking about that. Life is going to throw things your way, good or not, in the will of God or not, because we are not in heaven yet. Right? When people want to ask you, well, at work, well, then why do bad things happen to good people if there really is a God? Well, okay, I'm glad you asked. Because, number one, we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Hates your guts because you remind him of God, because you're made in God's image. And he wants to hurt God any way he can. So he'll try to get through him, through you. We have an enemy, but he's defeated. He might go around as a roaring lion. He goes as a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He goes around as he's in a costume because his teeth have already been kicked in and the keys to death, hell, and the grave were already taken from him when Jesus went to that cross. So now all he's got is a roar to try to scare you. Lies. Lies. The battle's up here. Lies, right? So I want to get back to, don't be under condemnation if you feel like, man, I'm really experiencing some hard times right now. I feel like I'm in the Willow Days. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of God's will and you did something wrong. Paul said, look, I've learned to be content whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, whether I'm in the palace or whether I'm in the prison, whether I'm hungry and starving or whether I've got my belly is full and I'm happy. I've learned to be content, knowing that my God is everything. So that means, I mean, you can look at, you're trying to tell me then when Paul got stoned that he was out from underneath the will of God? No, he got stoned for preaching the gospel, right? Look what happened to Jesus. Look what happened to, it doesn't necessarily mean, so let me put you at ease. I mean, like I said, unless you're just in willful disobedience and you're ignoring something God is telling you to do, I hope that takes some condemnation. Now, don't feel like, well, man, I must be out of the will of God. I'm not saying that it's God's will for you to be in pain. I am not saying that at all. But what I do know is this, sometimes when we're going through things, if we would stop for a minute and pause from the, get me out of this, get me out of this, get me out of this, and say, instead of saying, take this, first say, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to show me? How do you want me to be stronger on the other side of this? Amen? It's quiet in here. Okay. Because here's the thing, the crazy thing about this life is how quickly it can change. You can start off a palm day and everything is going great and you're like, man, I'm on top of the world, and you can get one phone call and all of a sudden you're in tears and adversity and everything's changed and somebody just handed you a willow. One call. Here's the amazing thing about my God. Just as easily, let me encourage you, you can go from a willow day and a miracle can happen and give you, change you to a palm day. You want to know how to get to palm days quicker when you're in a willow day? Hosanna, blessed be the Lord God Almighty. I love you. Thank you. That's a big thing that pastor says to us all the time in this church. I'm in this. Thank you. Thank you is one of the best faith statements that you could ever make. Because thank you is I recognize the fact that you're my source and you've already made it all available and you've already won the victory. Thank you. Just as easily As you can go from a good day to a bad day, the opposite is true, and miracles can happen just as fast. Just as fast. Ask the people that Jesus opened their eyes. Ask the people who hadn't walked for years and had no strength in there. Ask the man whose hand was withered, and all of a sudden they said, stretch it out. In the name of Jesus, he stretched it out, and his hand got strength. And those bones and ligaments came back in a matter of a minute. Went from a willow to a palm. It's funny how quickly things can change. And here's the great thing about God, because we count days. Like, if you're having a bad day, okay, you might be like, man, I'm having a bad week, I'm having a bad year, I'm having whatever. But we count days differently than he does, right? When you and I think of a day, we think of, okay, we had the morning, and then we had tonight, we had the evening. All right, and that's a day. That's not how God counts a day. Go all the way back to Genesis 1, where God is creating anything. And if you read it, it's really easy to accidentally miss this. But it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, that's kind of weird. You started with the evening. And he says that every day. And day one. And the evening and morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. What am I trying to say about this? It's not over until the sun shines, according to God. He said, I'm not going to leave you in the dark. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He said, the day is not over until the sun is shining in your life. You might have a willow right now, but keep your faith in me, because I'm going to hand you a palm. Keep your faith in me. I love this. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When? Always. All the time. In the good times, in the palm days, and in the willow days, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Consistency is the key. Consistency is the key. Can I tell you, as a praise and worship leader, man, my heart, every Sunday, whenever I come and I'm standing up here on this platform, whether it's behind the keyboard or whatever, is to see people let go and get in the presence of God. I don't know what your week looked like, but I do know this, and because I'm with you, because I'm human. There are days when it's much easier to do this, and there are other days when it feels like this. But I just read, rejoice in the Lord always. 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 And again, I say, can I just be really transparent with you? There are days I don't feel like leading worship. When I don't feel like giving it a let's go, praise Jesus, praise God. Maybe my week was like your week. And it's just like, oh, but consistency is the key. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. I will rejoice in the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And every time, sometimes you got to make yourself. That's what's called crucify the flesh. Because this body doesn't want to. Don't you know what happened this week? Don't you know what went on at work this week? Don't you know about the fight we got in at home this week? Don't you know what my kids did this week? Don't you know what my boss said this week? Don't you know this pain that I had this week? No, crucify that flesh and put it aside. And every time, I promise you, every time you do that, and you do, because you cannot give thanks and complain at the same time. And when you praise God, all of a sudden you open the door for God to say, I can move now. And I want to come where you're at. And I want to be with you, that my child has given me love even though they don't feel like it. Even though they feel like everything's falling apart, they're showing me that I'm their God. I'm their, you are my one thing. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. You are my one thing. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Where do you need a good day? Amen. Every day that you have breath to praise the Lord. Now listen, look, I might as well just come down here. Hello, everybody online. I'm preaching to me too. Because I am not saying that I am perfect, and I am not saying that I have perfected this, but it's a message that needs to be preached. Maybe I'm preaching this because I need this. I don't know. Maybe none of y'all need this. Maybe this is for me. Amen. Consistency is the key. But here's the thing. We tend to make a bigger deal out of our bad days than our good days. When was the last time you called somebody up and said, my back doesn't hurt today? But the last time you had a headache, 30 people knew about it before you had your coffee. Right? We tend to make a bigger deal out of the bad days than we do. And here's the thing. If the only time that God can get your attention is when you're in trouble, maybe that's the time reason like you're in crisis after crisis. It's funny how we don't, oftentimes the nature of mankind is we don't realize we need God until we realize we need God. Till we come to that point where I'm at the end of myself, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this on my own, right? And he's saying, hey, but it's consistency of saying, I will bless you, Lord. I will. Like I said, you might not always feel like coming into this house and lift your hands. He said, lift your hands in the sanctuary. Straight from his word, straight from his scripture. Bless him. Better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Look at this. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many times? What times? All times. See, your feelings may not be consistent, but your actions can be. Your feelings might not be, I don't feel like it today. Don't mess with me today. Don't push daddy's buttons today. You're on my last nerve. Right? Consistency, though, means something. Psalm 103, 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This is the psalmist talking. He's reminding himself as he's going through it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You might not feel like it, but I'm talking to you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Man, being consistent to praise in the palm times is equally important, though. Don't forget where your blessings came from, right? Sometimes, can I submit to you, sometimes it's almost more dangerous to be in the palm times than it is to be in the willow times. Why? Because when you're in the palm times, it's really easy to get lax and relax. I don't need God. Everything's fine. Hey, you know what, family? Let's go ahead and skip church. Come on. Get in that whatever. God, get, you know, the nice car that God gave you, and let's go to the lake instead of setting an example, saying, no, family, let me tell you, things are good right now, and it's because of the goodness of our God. And we're going to go put him first. Whether we, I'm preaching to the choir, you guys are here, but I'm telling you, man, set that consistency in your life. I believe that I am where I am today because of the consistency that I experienced from my parents. Consistency. Psalm 115, 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And I'm telling you today to make a decision. Bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I'm making a choice. I'm making a choice that I'm going to bless him. And I'm going to give you one more scripture, and then we're actually going to wrap this up. I kind of purposefully tried to preach a little shorter today because we're going to do one worship song. Because I can think of nothing more fitting to do on Palm Sunday than to celebrate the way they did 2,000 years ago on Palm Sunday as he was coming into the city and they were singing Hosanna and laying everything out before him and lifting up their hands and praising the King of Kings. So I thought it fitting today that if possible we should preach a little shorter message and that we end this service praising God and lifting our hands and rejoicing for who he is. But first I want to give you this verse, and I love this. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It's the end of the book. Everybody knows where Revelation is? After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing. This is you and I. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Palm branches in their hands. Anybody notice what's missing? The willows. The willows. Just palm branches at this point. Because when we get to heaven, there will no longer be sorrow. There will no longer be adversity. There will no longer be pain. And at that point, I'm going to have a palm in this hand and a palm in this hand, symbolizing the victory that he has won, and we made it. This is you and I. One day we will stand here in this moment. And if I remember and I look up and I see any of y'all and I make eye contact, I hope you guys remember this message. As we're standing, I'm going to look at you with my palm and go, no willows. So what I'm going to ask you to do today is to stand with us. Let me just say this really fast. Because last week we took communion. And I learned something this week that was really cool that I had never seen before. And I was like, wow, wow. When you think about the elements of communion, you have the bread and you have the wine, right? They call it the fruit of the vine. And I got to thinking about that, and I heard somebody say, when you think about it, the wine, when Jesus gave communion to his disciples, what did he say? He said, do this in remembrance of me. He gave them something physical to see and touch. He said, when you do this, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. You know what the opposite of remember is? The opposite of remember is dismember. To be torn apart. And maybe you feel like my life has been torn apart, my relationships have been torn apart, my health has been torn apart, my finances have been torn apart, ripped apart. He said, oh, no, do this in remembrance. Put it back together. Do this in remembrance of me. See, and he hands them a cup of wine. When the world drinks, they drink to forget. And I don't blame them. Because if I didn't know God, I'd be at the bar too. My kids don't want to have anything to do with me. My relationship is bad with my spouse. Things are terrible at work. I don't see any hope, whatever. The world drinks to forget. Jesus said, drink to remember. We drink to remember. That's the significance of the palm and the willow. I'm going to remember with these in my hand that you were with me in the good times and you were faithful in the bad times, but you were the same, and I will be consistent to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So what I'm going to ask you to do today is I'm going to ask you to symbolically, don't worry about the person on your left or your right. If you need to close your eyes, whatever. I want to ask you to take your willow in your one hand and your palm in the other. And I'm going to ask you to lift them up to God today. And we're going to give him praise going out of this place. Amen. Hallelujah.